to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many are ready for the word tonight? Amen. Apostle is close by right there in Baton Rouge, handling apostolic business. So we're going to get right into the word tonight. Seated. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. Thank you for putting us in this position by sending your son to redeem us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence and your leadership. Thank you for every family that is represented. God, may we hear your voice in a very special way. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn me to Galatians, the third chapter. I want to continue with talking about what Apostle has been talking about, the soul. How many of y'all have been helped by Apostle teaching us on the soul? It's amazing. It's amazing. That's what I love about the apostolic. The apostolic allows us to be exposed to doctrines and to teachings that normally we wouldn't have access to. And so this teaching on the soul has tremendously changed my life, and so I'm having a ball listening to Apostle. I'm having a ball studying this. Because you know, the more and more you read the Word of God, the more you discover about yourself. All right, and so it's a wonderful thing. Here in Galatians, the third chapter, and very familiar scripture. The 13th verse, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, colon, right? That means the thought is not finished. Jesus did this for a certain position. So right here we see Galatians 3:13, which says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. It's really talking about Christ has given us an opportunity to be born again. All right, giving us opportunity to rediscover who we really are. In that discovery of who we really are, there was a purpose behind that discovery. And the 14th verse gives us the purpose behind him doing what he did. In that 14th verse, it says that the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of who?
Abraham.
Now, you got to hold on to that statement, that the blessing of Abraham, because we're going to find out tonight that the blessing of Abraham is not automatic. Just because you're born again don't mean you're going to walk in the blessings of Abraham. Being born again puts you in a position to do so. But it does not mean that it's automatic. Are you hearing me? It says that the blessing of Abraham might. I love that word might, because that means it gives a condition. It's a condition. There's conditions. Might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, when you see that phrase, that the blessing of Abraham, we have to find out not only what the blessing is, but where the blessing originated and why did it originate. Because if you don't understand why it originated, the blessings of Abraham originated, then you won't ever be able to walk in the blessings of Abraham. All right? Go over to Genesis, the 12th chapter, because we're going to find out tonight that our will, that's the part of our soul that helps us make decisions. You're going to understand how important your will is. How and why Satan is after your will. Okay. See, ultimately, Satan attacks every aspect of the soul, but he's really after your will. Amen. Because your will is what you decide. When in Psalms 119, I think verse 109, when the psalmist David was writing, he said, "My soul is in my hands, continually in my hands." Really what David was saying is, it's up to me. It's up to me. What my outcome in life is up to me. And so I have to guard my will. I have to protect my will. I can't let everybody have access to my will. I can't let everybody influence my will. This is making sense. Genesis, the 12th chapter. Watch this. See, these are scriptures that we know, but the apostolic grace that is on this particular, that's on this ministry, is allowing us to see scriptures in a different way. And it is allowing us to see scriptures in a different way, that they're no longer just Bible stories. We can now apply this stuff to our lives. So I don't have to read about Daniel in the lion den when sometimes I might be in my own lion's den. So I got to find a way to translate what Daniel was going through. I got to find translate. Well, I'm in the lion's den, God. What am I going to do about this? Are you seeing this? See, the apostolic gives us the opportunity to do that. Genesis, the 12th chapter. Watch this. Genesis, the 12th chapter. And we started the first verse. And we know this is God talking to Abram. And he said, "Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Verse 3 is the part I want to get to. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Now, in Galatians, the 14th chapter says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles by faith through Jesus Christ. You see that phrase? So now here we see where God is establishing the blessing of Abraham. And there's a certain way he established the blessing of Abraham, to where it's still not automatic. Because watch what he said. So it's going to take you and I willing something to happen. My will is involved in this. This is not automatic. It's not, okay, now I'm born again, everything going to be peaches and cream. All right, watch this. Here is God saying, God will bless them that bless you, Abram, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So God is simply saying that Abraham, now here's the question. Is it because Abraham is Abraham why God is blessing those that bless Abraham? Mm-mm. It ain't because it's Abraham. Abraham decided this is how God gonna do it. Because Abraham, watch this, accepted the call. Out of all the people in the earth that God was talking to, Abraham heard. When Abraham heard, that's when God said, okay, I found somebody that's willing to do what I've called them to do. So now, Abraham, I'm going to start this off with you. And everybody that helps you do what I've called you to do, I'm going to be responsible for blessing them. Are you seeing this? So it's not Abraham. So when you look in Galatians 3:14, turn back there. Turn back there. Because I'm trying to bring this into today's term, today's time, so you'll understand how Galatians 3:13 and 14 benefits me. Go back to Galatians 3:13. Let's read this again. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. So the blessing of Abraham in this particular scripture is just trying to get you to reference what God is trying to get you to. See, we answered the question, was it because of Abraham why God said, I'm going to bless those that bless you? No, it's because Abraham answered the call. So because Abraham answered the call, now Abraham is kingdom minded. His life is geared around the agenda of what God is asking him to do. So now God said, okay, now find somebody who's willing to do what I've asked him to do. Everybody that watch this. Everybody that discovers that you're directly connected and working for God, and attach yourself and attach themselves to you and help you. That's what blessing me. Help you accomplish this. God said, now I'm responsible for blessing them. Yeah. So now what God was saying is God was telling everybody who would see Abraham what he was doing, everybody, watch this, who made the choice. Will. Who made the choice to help Abraham do what he was called to do. Then God said, I'm responsible for blessing them. Is this making sense? So our will, this is why Satan is after our will. That's why, because really, to be honest, watch this. Go to Genesis, the first chapter. You'll see that originally, the blessing of Abraham existed on us. Now, I'm only using the phrase the blessing of Abraham to give you, so you'll understand, the same way Paul wrote it in Galatians 3:14, the phrase blessing of Abraham just simply means that God want to be good to you. But we have to have a reference. So this blessing of Abraham runs us to Genesis 12. Verse 13 runs us back to Genesis 1 to tell us how we originally were. So watch this. You were created a blessing. Not to be a blessing, you were created a blessing. Then not in the future, you were created a blessing. Are you seeing this? So what happens is, in Genesis 1, verse 26, he said, let us make man in what? So, in our likeness. So if God made us in his image and his likeness, that means that man started off blessed. So once again, if man started off blessed, what caused man to lose the blessing? Your will. See, people ask this question all the time to different ministers and different people who love God. Okay, if God's so wonderful, why God lets all these bad things happen in the earth? And it's a very legitimate question. Why all these bad things are happening? These bad things are happening because of will and choice. Because of will and choice. Watch this. In the Garden of Eden, people don't realize this. There was evil in Eden. That's tough to absorb now. There was evil in Eden. What'd you think the tree was? So if God put that tree there so that man could have a choice. So if man could have a choice and God made us in his image, that means God empowered us that we can make the right choice. So he made us after his image, after his likeness. Not only that, he gave us dominion. So we started off having dominion, made in his likeness, started off as a blessing. All right? Started off as a blessing. So what caused man to lose a blessing was his will. So this is why Satan is always trying to affect your memory, trying to affect your imagination, trying to affect your emotions to get to your will. Because your will is what causes you to behave in the earth realm. Causes you how you're going to act. Are you seeing this? Go to Philippians 2. This is why this study on the soul is so important. Because your spirit is not useful if your soul keep getting in the way. Your spirit, Satan, it didn't take much for Satan to eliminate the dominion of man. All he had to do was get to his soul. Satan is not hard for Satan to stop our dominion. All he does is get to our Philippians 2. Watch this. Philippians 2 and 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Wait a minute now. To will and to do. So that means God, if we allow him to, will empower us to want to do what he's asking us to do. And empower us to do it. But it's still got to be up to you to make the decisions to allow this to happen. Watch this. Go to verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation. So that means for me to work out my own salvation, there gonna have to be a series of choices that I make. So when I make these series of choices, that means my will has to be intact in order for me to make these series of choices. So if I allow Satan to attack my will, then I won't be able to work out my salvation. Because I'm not making decisions, I'm not able to make a series of decisions that will cause me to work out my salvation. God said in Jeremiah 29:11, we know this, I know the what? Thoughts that I think of you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you an expected end. Right? So therefore, God has everything in your life for success laid out, but I have to choose for that to happen. Remember now, my soul is continually in my hand. So by my soul continually being in, now watch this. Stop worrying about the situations you're facing that you don't like. That has nothing to do whether your soul is in your hand. When you face a situation that you don't like, your soul is still in your hands. The question is, are you going to have a strong enough will to obey what God is telling you to do? Romans 8:28, turn now. Verse 28. And we what?
Know.
Your soul is involved. And we know that what?
All things.
All things includes what?
Everything.
Everything. And we know that all things work together for good. You mean to tell me that the problem I'm dealing with now is going to work together for my good? Yeah, that's what the Bible says, but let's keep reading. Because your will is involved in this. Your will, this just don't automatically happen. That's why you see people who face situations and sometimes they don't win. Watch this. And we know that all things work together for good to a specific group of people. To a specific group of people. To them that love God, right? To them who are the called according to His purpose. What the Apostle Paul was saying is there are going to be some moments where you face challenging situations. But those challenging situations are there to try to stop you from following what God has connected you or called you to. So if Satan can play mind tricks with you, that the situation you face, and the situation you face is going to overcome you, then he has you beat already. So going through the situation, this is why Romans 12 and 3 through is so important. Go there, 12 and 2. Please go there. This is why this is so important. See, because once again, your will is involved in this. Because he said, all things work together for them who love God and are called according to His purpose. Right? Not, see, what happens is the church has been performing services for people instead of demanding performance. And so what has happened is we've created a body of Christ that gets born again. Watch this. Gets born again and just on their way to heaven. Listen, this is why Philippians 2 and 12 is so important. Paul, the Apostle Paul say that you work out your own salvation. See, because watch this. The objective of being born again is not going to heaven. It may be a benefit, it may be a fringe benefit, but it's not the objective. See, this is why so many Christians not suffer, struggle on earth. See, I don't mind suffering for Christ. I don't mind suffering for Christ. What's suffering? Let's get real. Suffering, sometimes you don't like suffering. You're going through a situation and it's causing you havoc. You just don't like it. You're suffering. The difference between suffering and struggling is this. I may suffer, but I know my way out. Struggling is when you don't know if there's going to be an end, if there even be an end. This might just be how my life's supposed to be. That's struggling. The reason why most Christians struggle and they have their hopes set on heaven is because they don't realize that they have to work out their own salvation. Are you seeing this? So going to heaven is not the objective of being born again. You see the objective of Christ redeeming us from the curse of the law. Verse 14 says that the blessing of Abraham. How do I access the blessing of Abraham? By finding somebody who God has called and helping them do what God has called them to do. Is that making sense? Because I'm trying to encourage you and let you know that there's some things that you're missing out on that's rightfully yours. There's some gifts that God wants you to have that if you don't know they belong to you, then Satan will let you live blindly without them. You have a right to go to God and say, God, I'm connected to your agenda. Give me instructions on what to do so I can do them, because I know when I do, every act of obedience from you initiates, watch this, supernatural acts from God in your life. Now notice how I said this. I need you to notice how I said this, because I said it a certain way on purpose. Every act, singular, of obedience initiates supernatural acts from God. God is not in the business for meeting you tack for tack, tip for tip. God asks you to do something, you do it. He's going to do 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things for you. So now, if that's the case, then I need to change my focus from off my situation to on what God wants. Because when I change my focus off my situation that I'm facing, then that means I can get out the way for God to do what he wants to do in my life. Are y'all seeing this? So this is why God created the fivefold. Go with me to Acts, the 8th chapter. This is Acts, the 8th chapter. Watch this. Yeah, Acts, the 8th chapter. Watch this. This is why it's important that we embrace the apostolic, embrace the office of the apostle, embrace the fivefold ministry gifts. This is why it's important that we embrace it, because in Acts, the 8th chapter, it tells us why. And of course, in Ephesians, we're going to get there in a minute. In Ephesians 4, we're going to get there. But it tells us why. In Acts, the 8th chapter, and the, let's see, the 31st verse, I believe it is. Yeah, look at verse 27. It's talking about Philip. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Listen to what this Ethiopian eunuch said. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired. And he what?
Desired.
He desired. Watch this. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now the Ethiopian eunuch could have easily looked at Philip and said, yeah, I got this figured out. When he know he ain't got it figured out. Because he'd have left that particular moment without knowing who Christ was. But he had to desire. That's his will. So because he had his will intact, God was able to use Philip to show him Christ. Go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. See, that's why you have to have your will intact. That you have to understand that when Apostle Thompson gives us instructions, if my will is intact, I can do these things. When I do these things, that obedient act will trigger supernatural acts from God. That's the blessing. Your soul is in your hands. So now, if my soul is in my hands, that means that there are going to be some times when I don't want to do some things. That's why when I get to that point, I have to go to Romans 12 and 2. Because anytime God gives us instructions, and watch this. Anytime God gives you instructions and you don't want to do it, you're conforming. That means somebody's messing with your will from the outside. That means somebody is affecting your thinking from the outside. This is why you have to go to the inside. As we learn to make our soul cooperate with our spirit, there's going to be at least some dominion that you never thought you'd be able to experience. Things are beginning to happen in your life that you never dreamed would happen. Situations will begin to turn around that you never thought could turn around because you're allowing your soul to cooperate with your spirit. See, listen to me. I said it before, and I need you to hear this again. I need you to hear me clear. Your soul, watch this. Your soul is the eyes of your spirit into the natural. But your spirit is the eyes of your soul into the supernatural. So when both of them are working together on one accord, you can see in the natural and you can see in the supernatural. You see people when they come, you see shices when they coming, you see them when they going, you see people when they trying to mess over you. Why is it so important that my will be intact? Because when God speaks to us, when God gives us instructions, they're for a reason. I need the voice of God in my life. Here's why. Number one, I'm not omnipotent. I'm not omniscient. I'm not omnipresent. What does that mean? I don't know everything. I don't have enough power on my own. And I'm not everywhere. So that means I can't be over there when they're plotting up against me. But because I'm connected to the Spirit of God, and my heart is turned, my mind is turned toward Him, that means I have access to the other room when they're plotting on me. Is this making sense? Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I just simply don't know how people try to make it into the world without God. I don't understand it. I don't even understand it. I don't understand. They don't realize that they're sitting on the mercy of God. Watch this. We shouldn't on purpose be relying on the mercy of God. We should be on purpose walking in the grace of God. And mercy is there in case I don't get it right. But my intentions and my will is to walk in His favor, His grace. Are you seeing this? Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Watch what the fivefold ministry gift is supposed to do. This is why there have to be an apostolic shift, because the fivefold ministry gift is supposed to demand performance. In other words, put us in a position to practice and to walk in what we're hearing. Giving us the opportunity to face our situations, and I may not have to call apostle because I hear the Spirit of God, sometimes an apostle voice, telling me what to do. That has happened to me. That has literally happened to me. I was driving Chantel, Learwater III, and I were driving from Baton Rouge, and we was crossing, I believe it was Highland Road. So everybody know where I'm at. We was crossing Highland Road, and we was crossing Highland Road. I was in the fast lane passing up an 18-wheeler. All right. So as I'm passing this 18-wheeler, I heard Apostle's voice say, "Hit the gas." It was so loud that I heard his voice say, "Hit the gas." I hit the gas so hard and fast that Chantel sat back in the seat. That's how fast I hit the gas. When I hit the gas, I saw at the corner of my eye a car coming across the interstate. I'm going east. I saw a car coming across the interstate going west, coming across the median. The car passed by my truck so fast to where we fishtailed. And it hit the back tire of the 18-wheeler, flipped around, and stopped in the middle of the road. And the car behind the 18-wheeler ran into it and exploded. That was supposed to be Chantel, I, and Learwater III behind that 18-wheeler. I got out to pass, and I notice what I said. Notice whose voice I heard. Now, Apostle wasn't in the car. He was not in the car with me. So my question is, why did God use his voice? Why did he use his voice? Come on, man. Come on. He used the voice because he knew I would respond to that voice. Because I'm used to hearing that voice. And I know that voice ain't never done me wrong. So the Spirit of God, watch this, the Spirit of God. So I know ultimately when I heard his voice, I know what him told me that. I know the Spirit of God, but God ain't got time to be trying to let me figure out who this is. And should I hit the gas? Are you seeing what I'm saying? See, when your will is intact and your heart is after God, and your heart, watch this, your heart is not only after God, but your heart is after people who are doing what God is doing. That means God can get to you when he needs to get to you. He can speak to you when he needs to speak to you. Watch this, go to Romans. Go to Romans 2. Watch this. Go to Romans, and then we come back to Ephesians. Because I need you to understand why it's important that we hear apostles' voice, and why we listen to his CDs over and over. Why we taking this stuff in? Because watch this. Romans 12. Very simple. Why? And we almost finished. Very simple. Why? See, there's no such thing as you standing still. There's no such thing. No such thing as you standing still. Ain't nothing happening to you. There's no such thing. I don't care if you're sitting in your room by yourself, quiet, something is happening to you. You may not hear no sound. You might hear no sound. The TV ain't on. Ain't nobody there. You're just sitting in the room. You're chilling. You're relaxing. Even while you sleep, something happening to you. That's what thoughts. Your thoughts is always with you. You can't escape your thoughts. You just got to face them and deal with them. Watch this. Romans 12 and 2. Very familiar scripture. And be ye not what? Conformed to this world. But be ye transformed by the what? So that means if I don't renew my mind, this is something that I have to choose to do. Because if I choose not to renew my mind, then the outside forces are going to make me conform. When I conform, I'm going to get conformed results, not transformed results. This is, watch this, this is why we can't take the blessings of Abraham as being automatic, because it's not automatic. If I just sit and do not renew my mind, don't allow myself to spend time with God, then I'm going to be shaped into how this world wants to shape me. But I have to decide, I have to will. Hungering and thirsting after God is not something God going to do for you. God ain't going to make you thirst and hunger after him. God ain't going to do that. Because when God makes you do something, when he makes you do something, that means he's controlling your will. When he's controlling your will, love no longer exists. Because now you ain't got the choice to spend time with him. You're being made to spend time with him, which means you no longer are a free moral agent. That means you're now a slave. So that goes directly contrary to Genesis 1:26 when he said, let us make man in our image. Because God chooses to do things that he does. He chooses to love us, even though sometimes we don't quite act right. He still chooses to love us. So if my will has to be in check, I have to choose to do this. I have to choose. I have to control my will. My soul is in my hand. If my soul is in my hands, then is it going to be up to me to direct which way it goes? I can't leave my soul unguarded. I can't leave my will unguarded. I can't allow everybody to be talking to me and saying any and everything to me, because I have to guard my will. I can't have nobody around me talking about how broke they are all the time. Even though you may be in that situation, I still don't want you talking to me about it. Because this is not who I am. Because watch this, Romans 8:28, all things work to. So what God is saying is, if you work with him, your brokenness will work out to your favor. Because watch this, if my brokenness work out to my favor, that means I ain't gonna be broke always. Are you seeing this? Your will, Ephesians 4, and I'm closing here. Watch this. I need you to see how important what the fivefold really is to do. See, the fivefold has been performing services. You know, what I mean by performing services, babysitting. You know, nothing wrong with these things. These things sometimes got to be done. But this is all that has been, that the fivefold ministry has been relegated to. You know, visiting you in the hospital. You know, performing marriages. Things that have got to be done, burying you. Laying hands on your baby, the Christian your baby. All these, they got to be done, and it should be done in the church. But that ain't the purpose of the fivefold. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Watch this. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And I'm going to read and I'm going to skip some, because there's a lot of reading in Ephesians 4, because I want you to see what I'm trying to get to. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, at the 11th verse. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, he meaning Jesus. He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, some and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints, or maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come into unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a matured man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Because doctrine affects your will. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Watch this. Go to verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the, I need a word to emphasize, in the vanity of their mind. In the vanity of their mind. In the vanity of their mind. So that means there's another mind that exists. In the vanity of their mind. Having, now what is the vanity of their mind? Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their, because of the blindness of their soul. What the blindness of their soul leads to? Who, watch this, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness, just uncontrolled, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. Other words, people who do these things have not learned Christ. So that means Paul was talking to a bunch of Christians who were claiming that they were born again, but still living like they weren't born again. All because they were living in the vanity of, if they'd have been listening to the fivefold ministry, they would have not been living in the vanity of their mind, because they won't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that affects your will. This is why apostles say, listen at it over and over. Listen at it over and over. Because, listen, when God called you to be connected to an apostle, Satan was put on alert on how to affect your soul. So when Satan was put on alert on how to affect your soul, that means the Holy Spirit, who is light years ahead of Satan, already know what you need to hear to affect your will. So that's why he connected you to an apostle, so that when you listen to it over and over and over again, your will is being affected to do what God is calling you to do. Is this making sense? Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. Watch this. Verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and watch this, be renewed in the what? Now that phrase threw a lot of people off. That phrase threw a lot of people off, but let me explain to you what that phrase really means. It simply means where you get your source of information from. It says be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So that means when you allow yourself to receive information from the Word of God, when you allow yourself to receive information from the Word of God, what you're doing is you're allowing yourself to be transformed, not just conformed. See, you got Christians who had been renewed in the spirit of their mind. Why? Because they accepted Christ, but they're still getting information from the outside. They refuse to renew their mind. They don't spend time with God. So when you don't spend time with God, when you don't spend time with God, you can't recognize God's voice. Amen. That's what he said in John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice. The voice of a what? Stranger. They won't follow. So therefore, he said, my sheep, my followers, my disciples, those that are disciplined. Discipline has to do with your will. Ephesians. Let's see. Ephesians 3. Watch what Paul says, why he prayed for the Ephesians. This is the same prayer that Apostle prays for us. For this cause, for this reason, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with by his
spirit
in your what? In your soul. Be strengthened with might. That's talking about the will. That's talking about the will. That you be strengthened with might in your inner man, your soul. So that means if the Apostle Paul can pray for strength, to be strengthened with might in the inner man, that means that I can pray to be strengthened. So I need to ask God, God, strengthen me. Strengthen me, God. If Paul can pray for it, I can pray for it. That I be strengthened with might in my inner man. I be strengthened with might in my inner man that when God is calling me to do something, God is calling me, asking me to do something, I'll have the, I can't use that word. Yes, I can. Watch this, man. Y'all gonna know what I'm saying. The testicular fortitude. Testicular fortitude to do what God has called me to do. Now, I said it nicely. The men know what I'm talking about. That I would have the courage and the will to do what God is asking me to do. Because, see, Ephesians, watch this, 3 and 20. Go to 20 verse. Go to 20, because it's important. It's important. The 20 verse. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That power is talking about your will. Because it can't be talking about the power in you to do something, to make something happen, because you can't make nothing happen on your own. And God can't give you the power to do nothing until you allow him to do it. So when he's saying this power that worketh in you, it's talking about your will. God, yes, I will. You're empowered. Jonah wasn't empowered till he decided to do what God told him to do. He had no power on the inside of him until he decided and willed himself to do what God has called him to do. That's when God empowered him. Amen. So the power that worketh in us is us willing to do what God has called us to do. Despite anything, despite what it costs us. God, I'm going to do and I'm going to be where you called me to be. I'm going to do what you called me to do. I'm choosing to do this. Are you seeing this? Your will, watch this. Your will determines how you're going to prosper. Because according to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 7th verse, it says, let every man purpose it. In whose heart? His own heart. What he shall give. Let every man purpose it. Choose, decide, will. In his own heart. Are you seeing this? See, if ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, John 15:7, ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you by my Father. Now if you abide in the word, and the word abide in you, y'all become one. So that means whatever the word won't, I won't. Whatever I want, the word won't. So when I'm going to God and talk to God, I'm already overcome with him. So it's not God, what can you do for me? It's God, what I can do for you. Are you seeing this? So God, what I can do for you, God, you give me instructions, what I can do for you. And when I do for you, I know you're going to do for me. That's how it works. Hebrews 10:36. You have need of patience. That after you've done the will of God, ye might receive the promises. Are you seeing this? See, this is not you do something. See, I don't want to get to your mind, you do something that God will do for me. That's not what this is. This is me doing what I've always been designed to do, and God doing for me what I was always designed to receive. I'm doing what God has called me, all what God had planned, but I know the thoughts. That's just me doing what God has designed or destined for me to do, and then I'm just receiving what he had already planned for me to have. And Satan ain't got nothing to do with this. Are you seeing this? So the fivefold, watch this, the fivefold is to challenge your soul. Challenge your thought process. Increase your will. Increase your the strength of your will. The Bible says Abraham was fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. That means that there was no wiggle room with Abraham. Abraham was going to do what God asked him to do regardless, whether Isaac showed up or not. He was convinced that God was going to uphold his end of the bargain. So he willed Isaac here. Because once your will is determined to do what God has asked you to do, now faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. And watch this. This last one throw people off. And the evidence of things not seen. That hope for is not talking about what you hope for. But that evidence of things not seen is what you want. What that scripture is really saying is my obedience to God brings to reality his dreams. And it gives proof that God gonna do for me what he been always wanting to do for me. That's the evidence. So when God talks to you and gives you instructions, that's evidence. That's evidence that God is going to come and follow through and cause whatever you're desiring to happen in your life to happen. You seeing this? So when apostle is giving us instructions and giving us opportunities to be involved and giving us instructions, apostolic guest cards and being in a certain meeting or participating in what he's doing, he's giving us an opportunity. Watch this to will our way to what God is asking us to do. And watch this. Wherever you are in life, wherever you live, wherever you're dealing with, when you take your focus off of your situation and put it on God and what he wants, you giving God room to put his focus on your situation. Now, I don't know about you. This is my last thing, but I don't know about you. But I want God focus on my situation rather than mine. Lift your hand if you need offering. I will. The ushers are in the aisle to serve you.